Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Aotearoa Rugby Pod with Ross Carl here and Bryn Hall, four-time Super Rugby champion, as well as James Parsons. Now, James, I want to start with a hypothetical. Okay, there's a Super Rugby title on the line. Your team is down by less than a converted try. You get past the ball. You've got 20 metres to run, and there's no one in front of you. What do you do?
Oh, you just pin your ears, and you don't worry about the try celebration or anything. You tuck it right into that chest tight, and you just know that you're just going to pin your ears and just dive high late. And not probably take a leaf out of Naruki's book, how he just looked left, right, and then just angled for the corner.
I'm glad this is at the start of the show. I'm just glad. Let's just get it out of there.
Bryn, what were you thinking, though, when Spy Kelly texts you on the group chat straight after, congrats, Bryn, but next time, hold on to the ball?
Oh, pretty accountable. Great accountability on my Spy, mate. Appreciate that. Great accountability. Even now, mate, it's been, just thinking about it. It's amazing how Joshy did that, just like 1 in 100. But, yeah, it was. I seriously thought I might be the most hated person in the Christchurch at that time. And just thought, you know, if we don't get the result here, I could be seriously in a lot of trouble here down in Christchurch. But thankfully, the boys got the job done and we're fortunate enough to get the result on yesterday evening.
Did you hear him coming?
I saw Will gave me the pass inside. And when I was just running, I knew that he was coming for me. He was turning around and came back. And if it was probably wet, I was going to probably dive early. But I just thought I wasn't going to get there. So I was just getting ready to reach out. And just the worst thing ever happened in my life. Seriously. Just felt it come out of my hand. And my reaction just told it all. It's just in a dark hole and just wanted to stay down there. So, thankfully, we got the result in the end.
Don't worry, bro. They didn't replay it much.
Just constant highlights. I've had Artie and now I've had this. Just good fortnight for myself. Come on.
Hey, four titles though, mate. Congrats as well. Congratulations,
thanks,
mate.
Thanks, mate.
Yeah, that's pretty shit hot, four titles, mate. Four titles in 4 years. One of the most successful Super Rugby players of all time.
Oh, to be honest, mate, I remember when I first coming down here, and you know, one was an amazing experience, and to have the opportunity to have, you know, to win a fourth one, it's pretty special. And you know, if you would have asked me probably, you know, 5 years ago, would I have had the opportunity to have these championships? Probably would have laughed at you. So, very fortunate and very lucky, and very happy that we were able to have our crowd there and to be able to put in a performance that they deserved, especially with us losing to the Hurricanes previously. So, now we enjoyed last night and enjoyed that. We've got a massive encounter against obviously Jipper and the Blues boys, who have a sellout at Eden Park, which will be a fantastic occasion. And probably the two former top teams in the competition going at it in the last round of the round robin.
How much did you enjoy last night? This is the question everyone wants to know.
It was great. Like, obviously, a tough competition, and especially when you play New Zealand teams and then the derbies and what it's taking out of you mentally and physically. But you know, it was weird, if I'm being honest. I think we kind of looked around and, you know, we celebrated and it was an awesome achievement. But yeah, it just didn't feel like a normal winning of a championship. Obviously, it's a round robin competition. But just different knowing that we had a job to do, and we've still got a game against the Blues boys, who are pretty hungry and in a pretty good mindset at the moment. So yeah, it was different. It was a pretty weird feeling, actually. Yeah.
Was there like a predetermined chat as to how you'd celebrate? You know, obviously there was no champagne, there was none of that stuff. Did you guys go, okay, we can't over celebrate if we do this, because what would that be, disrespecting the rest of the competition? Or like what was the mindset?
I think just it was it's the fact that's what the competition is. I think like we talked about before off air around, you know, a final is a final and that's your last game and you know that's going to be the end of the season. But you know, we still know that we had one more game regardless of what the result was going to be. So we knew that we had an opportunity to win the game and win the competition. But again, like I said, we still got a job to do to play the up in Eden Park against the Blues boys, who are going pretty good, really really good. So yeah. That's probably the one. Yeah, really weird. Really, really weird.
So was there a celebration or was it kind of just a couple of beers and a chat?
No, we celebrated. We celebrated with all our friends and family and they came in the change room and we had a few lemonades and celebrated the success of obviously winning and we had a few together as a group and then that's pretty much it. We had a day off today and then we're back into it. So we did celebrate. It was an awesome achievement, which is a really tough competition, like Jip knows. And but again, we've got a job to do come Sunday in Auckland.
Jip, what did you make of it all? You enjoyed the game?
I did for 60 minutes. look, I was watching it with my old man, and it was literally around the 60-minute mark. I was like, this is where it's going to count. And I think it might have been CO cleaned out and went off his feet, which was sort of, yeah, it is a penalty, but like hadn't been penalised a hell of a lot, so I was a little bit frustrated at that, if I'm honest. I was like, get another call. And then it just sort of turned on its head from there. But you've got to be a pretty good side to, I suppose, weather a storm as well as the Hondas play, because they brought their A game, probably one of their better performances of the year, and probably caught the Crusaders a lot in their own half, which we're not used to seeing. But to bounce back, and then, you know, when it counted, their big players stood up. And it was, yeah, I mean, it was a clinic. And I, even to the point I said to my man, you know, they're just the best team at the moment and we've just got to get better.
It's pretty simple, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, they've won it a week before it's finished. And, you know, every team had control of their own destiny at the start of the comp. And we had a few blips on our way to this final round and could have put ourselves in better stead, but we didn't. And probably same for the Hurricanes and their slow start. We had a slow middle and these boys just were clinical the whole way throughout. So yeah, it looked gutting, frustrating, but I think in the sense we've had progress as a team at the Blues, but it's, we don't want to be that team that celebrates just progress. We're really hungry to win. So it's a big opportunity for us to do something we haven't done for a while. A lot of our fans are coming out in droves. Looks like it's a sellout, which I think is pretty exciting for you know, the final game, afternoon footy. We know both sides are going to want to play, so it'll still provide a great atmosphere.
And knocking over the champions is pretty big, isn't it? If you can knock over the team that won the title last week, even if you can't win the title, that says something about your team.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've got plenty to play for, but nothing to lose. Same for the Crusaders. So I just think it's going to be an absolute, you know, place to be on Sunday, isn't it? If you're in Auckland, it's definitely going to be the place to be to see, you know, two pretty good sides go at it. And you know, for us, we want to finish second. I know second's, but in reality, second's better than the third. You know, the Hurricanes are going really well. They've got a big game down versus the Landers, and, you know, it wouldn't feel as good to drop to third. So, you know, there's plenty to play for us.
Bryn, you know, Scott Robertson obviously has led you now to four titles. Yeah, he must have been disappointed at the start of the year to miss out on the big job that he wanted. But what have you seen from him this year? He's obviously just gone straight back to business the way he always does it.
Oh, Rez has been awesome. I think, you know, he's, you know, no different to players and having aspirations of being a coach. And, you know, it was pretty well documented around the process and around that. But I think he's just come back motivated. And you can just tell that he cares about our team. And I guess the direction that didn't start just this year, but probably started in 2017, the kind of virtues and the kind of way that he's leading us into where we want to be. So he's coming motivated, and I think before we said a few coaching changes as well with Scott Hansen coming in and Andrew Goodman being taking over Ronan's role, and collectively just really going really well as a coaching unit. So the best thing about Ray is he's got the ability to bring a group together, and it's not just from 1 to 23, it's 1 to 37 that he's that real connection with. And I think when you have that connection with the whole squad, it brings the best out of you, not only on the field but off the field as well. And it's actually pretty special coach to be able to do that. And I've been pretty fortunate to have that the last 4 years. So he's come back motivated, and he's just been exactly the same person that he has been since I first seen him in 2017.
How does he go about doing it? What does he do to connect with you guys?
Oh, you can just tell he cares. He, you know, he's a Crusader man. He knows what it like what it's like to play for the Crusaders, and so he had a lot of success in, I guess, the roots of our club. And so when you've got that kind of connection to the team already without being a coach, the players really feed off that and have an understanding what success looks like and, you know, what it is to be a Crusader man. So when you've got that going for you, and then you've got your own little, his own little swag of how he does things, it all adds up. So he's a young coach as well. You know, he's got a lot more to give as well, and he'll continue to grow and continue to get better. He's no different to us as players wanting to be a better coach. So I'm really looking forward to seeing his growth and for the rest of the competition next week and moving forward.
Jip, what do you look for in a good coach?
I suppose for me, it's look, I've had a pretty good coach for a long time now, Tom Coventry, and I suppose he's someone that, you know, I think about when I get asked a question like that. And it's more, I think the biggest thing that Bryn said there is care for the player as an individual. And it's a real willingness to want you as an individual, your teammates as individuals to get better, the team to get better. And then I suppose his biggest strength is the collaboration of his nature of coaching. He's a teacher by trade. Most of the best coaches are teachers because they don't just give you the answer. They drag the answer out of you and you know, sort of make you come to that thought yourself. And sometimes it can be the long way, but that patience and that nurturing teaching sort of aspect, I think, is massive in a good coach. And you know, that's something that gets the best out of you know, me and you know, guys that are willing to learn and suck it up as well. So I think care and making it an inclusive environment is massive.
I suppose the next step on that is we had a super coach join the Chiefs this year, right? And I suppose there was a lot expected of them with Warren Gatland in charge. And they certainly started strongly pre-COVID, didn't they? But now they've gone winless through Super Rugby Aotearoa. What have you guys seen in the changes from the Chiefs in Super Rugby Aotearoa?
I suppose it's hard to put that on like one coach or one man, because like, as we're talking about a good coach, it takes a good team of coaching. So I don't think it just falls on Gats' shoulders. And there's a lot of things that played against them in terms of injuries and stuff. And they spoke about the youth of the squad. So that's challenging at times and something that Bryn and I have been through, you know, when Bryn was up at the Blues. You know, the only way to get experience and learn from it is to be out there. So there was a lot of that. What I've seen differently, they sort of chopped and changed throughout Super Rugby Aotearoa, is, you know, at the first they kicked sort of not much at all, and you know, always was having a high possession stat. They were leading the comp in terms of time of holding the ball and play. And then defensively, I felt like they'd probably in the past they'd been like that aggressive line speed D, but they probably went to more of a passive D to allow to get you to the outside and try and swarm you there, or maybe force you to kick. And because they had that counter-attacking ability, they had people in the backfield to utilize that. That was a big part of their game. And I suppose if you compare that to 2012 and 13, when they won the comp, they were a team that probably defended the most and had the least amount of ball, at least about a ball. And that's where it seemed they went maybe a little bit more back to putting the ball back and behind teams and using that kick strategy, but not massively. So he's definitely made some tinkering from when, you know, Dave Rennie sort of started with that Chiefs era through to now, from what I saw.
I think they have missed Brody Retallick. Yeah, I don't think we can underestimate how much of a a talisman that he is and what he brings for their team. And obviously, Jip alluded to it and talked around having injuries and in a youthful experience, a youthful team as well. It's kind of hasn't helped him in that sense. So I guess for me, Brody Retallick's been a massive loss for them, and his leadership and, you know, his ability as a lock as well. You know, they've got some young locks there that have been playing really well and been given opportunities. But, you know, when you can have that kind of player who brings so much more than just being a rugby player for that group, I think they've just been missing it a lot. And I think collectively it takes time. You know, Gats is, you know, he's had a lot of success, and, you know, coaches like that, they tend to have success moving forward. And just unfortunate that, you know, Super Rugby Aotearoa is just a tough competition, and you know, they could have been 3 or 4 wins. You know, unfortunately, just with how tight these contests are, you know, they've kind of just been on the wrong end of it. But they'll be back. They'll be back next year. And you know, for those players that have been had the opportunity this year, it'll set them well moving forward towards next year. But now they'll be back, and you know, they're always determined. They're always they're a determined bunch. So they won't stay like that for very long.
They won't be back with Gatland though. He'll be gone with the Lions most likely. Well, maybe. Yeah,
the thing with that as well is that you know, Clayton McMillan as well gets an opportunity. I know he spent a bit of time with him at the Maldives, and you know, he's a guy that's been crafting his trade down in Bay Plenty, who have been pretty successful, and you've seen the development of their players and how their team has been going probably the last 4 or 5 years. So yes, Gats will be gone, but I think, you know, there'll still be the same coaches in there, and Clayton might bring something different, and you know, could really help them moving forward next year. But you know, Gats is there for the next 4 years, but I think Clayton moving forward will be an awesome man for the job and someone who really deserves it, I think.
Just a couple of things on the back of that. Sorry, Ross. So, you know, you speak about Clayton. I think the systems will be in place of where Gats wants the team to head. So I think that, you know, that change now will probably be the standard and the way forward going forward. So it won't be as much of a change or, I suppose, learning for the group coming next year, even if Gats isn't around. And then secondly, I just want to ask you, Bryn, you said about the importance of Brodie Retallick, which I totally agree with you, especially with 2 young hookers, and they didn't quite have that set piece strength that they used to and that ability to play off that front foot ball. How big was Sam Whitelock coming back for you guys? Say he's not there, and you know, those other boys we've spoken about are still great players, but they're not 150 cappers. Without him being there, do you think you guys would have been as successful coming into this back end?
It's a great question. I think, you know, especially with Scooter being injured as well, it was great timing for us. And yeah, like you said, like Quinny and Mitchie have been around for you know, 3 or 4 years. But like you said, when you've got a guy of that caliber who not only is a great footy player, but his leadership and his understanding of big moments and big games, he was massive for us. So I think we're very fortunate that obviously it was terrible with COVID and what happened. But for us, we were fortunate enough to get that caliber of player back. And you know, for us, I definitely reckon having him had a massive influence on us. And
so from the outside looking in, you know, there was that week where you lost the game, set piece wasn't great, and it looked like himself and Cody just said, right, we'll take this by the horns, and you've pretty much been 95% plus at line out in scrum, and you drove them all 22 metres since that moment. And I just don't think men with less experience could have mustered that quick turnaround in a week. It's pretty impressive.
It is, mate. And the great thing about Cody and Sammy is they owned it, like you said. You know, they came in and when we lost against the Hurricanes, and they owned it straight away and said, look, boys, we need to be better and it's on us, and you know, we'll be sure to fix that. And I think it comes back to experience as well, and understanding that, you know, I've been through this situation and I know what success looks like. I've done it, you know, I've done it 100 times or how many games the boys have played, and have an understanding of what it looks like. So the best thing you want, and what you want from your leaders, is accountability. And you know, they've done that ever since. And like you said, our line out and our scrum have been really good the past 2 weeks.
What have you seen from Sam? Because obviously he came back, he used to be captain. He won 3 titles as captain. He comes back into a team now being led by an old mate of his. How did you see him come back in, and how did he influence the team in maybe a slightly different way to what he has been doing the previous years?
Oh, well, obviously it's a little bit different. He, I think he's just been captain, you speak a lot more, and you know, the final message or the kind of delivery around the team is based around that. But the great thing about Sam is that he just doesn't change his leadership style, and we're really lucky that collectively we've got a lot of leaders that collectively come together. And yes, Cody, you know, Cody's our skipper, and you know, the amount of experience that Sam brings, he's, you know, he's a real red dot. And I guess for us, he gets a real needs to tell it how it is, and I think we probably missed that a little bit pre-COVID. And with that kind of experience and a guy that can just tell you how it is, it's really what we needed in our leadership group and in our team. So he's just come back and been the exact same person. And I guess a little bit at the start, he, you know, I guess just wanted to see how things were going and came back in slowly. But now, you know, he's exactly the same person that we are, probably just not without the captain's band.
Tell me about the red dot. For those people who don't know what the hell a red dot is, what is a red dot?
Sorry. It's just more
you're,
so like he's
You're
just,
looking
he's
at
just,
a couple.
Just just someone that's straight up and tells you how it is, and isn't afraid to speak up and tell it how it is. So
direct, really.
Very direct. Nature. very direct. And so I think we needed it. He's great. And sometimes you need that kind of you kind of need that. So it's been great having him and having that leadership style back in the squad.
So that's something they do to break you down. Like they kind of come in and find out what kind of personality type you are, so you can then respond correctly to the coaches, et cetera. Is that the dot process?
I think it's also your teammates to know what's best way of communicating with you. Also your coaches to know the best way of communicating to you, especially in heated times. If you know someone's a red dot, you know that you can just give them straight up what they need to change. But say they're a, you know, a blue or a purple dot, they probably need a softer approach or a different way of doing it.
As a red dot, is that difficult? You sometimes just, you got to hold yourself back.
It's been a challenge for me. I don't know about Bryn, but progress.
Yeah. Like from the first day that I met Jip to like what he is now. Yeah. He's been massive change around then. It's been for the better. It's been awesome actually. But it is. You just got to, I think, understanding your players and understanding what their needs are and the way they can take criticism and what it looks like for them. And because, you know, the last thing you want to do is to make people feel uncomfortable where they don't want to come out of their shell and, you know, they lose confidence. So I think having an idea around what that looks like and how they're feeling, and I guess the best way to get that kind of criticism or messaging as best as you can.
So on confidence, you know, obviously the Chiefs, they've lost all these games. They've got some very important All Blacks in that team, you know, from the skipper to Damien McKenzie, guys who've been a big part of the New Zealand setup for a few years. How does a team setup and the success of a Super Rugby team affect maybe the way you might enter a New Zealand side or not enter a New Zealand side, as the case may be?
I think for the players you named, it won't be a problem. I think if you were a first-year All Black last year and you didn't quite get the form in Super Rugby, then it will become more of a challenge if your super team's not performing. If you're a fringe player that hasn't played a lot and don't have many runs on the board, it'll play against, because that's what they've got to go off in this current climate. But guys with experience, proven form in the All Black jersey, and of the calibre of those players who have just given it everything, and you can see it, and the way they've played, their emotions on their face, it's they've put everything into the season to try and get it right. And quite frankly, their personal games haven't been, you know, subpar. If anything, they've tried to put more stuff on their back and carry the team.
In some ways, getting that kind of experience can help you grow as a player, maybe, Brent?
100% it does. It just gives you an idea of a bit of resilience, actually, probably. And Jipper and myself, we, you know, my first couple of years at Harbour, we went through a lot of turmoil around just not winning and not what it looks like. And you know, you question yourself, you try and find solutions everywhere where you can. But yeah, I think the experienced guys, though, they'll be okay, and you know, they'll have their processes around what success looks like, and you know, they'll have a pretty good idea around that. And you know, going into a new environment as well, something different, and you know, seeing old friends and you play a different brand of footy, and you know, just being in a different environment.
We're not short on midfield backs. There's been plenty of confident players around the place of midfield backs. Peter Umanga Jensen, that guy is on fire right now. He's running some sweet lines. What do you guys make of him?
He's strong. As you say, he's great at cutting a line and going between players and breaking that. You know, he never runs directly at a player, so you don't get a good chance at him. You know, it's like, Bryn, when someone runs between you, it's almost awkward because you'll probably end up swinging around and clashing heads with your mate, which I'm pretty good at. And you know, that's the best way, is you normally break through those tackles and make the game line. And he's great at that, scored a try doing a similar thing the other night. Where he sits, man, you know, like, you got Anton, you got Rico, who I think's probably the form 13. Nani's out injured, so it does open up a chance there, but he's more of a 13, not a 12. You got Jack. You can't forget Enor was in and around the All Blacks. And yes, he's had a few injuries, but you know, when he's been out there, he's performed. You know, and he's got that ability. You know, you just look at that kick he put through against us to pin Bodie into the corner down in Christchurch. So he's got that added ability of, he's quite got a bit of finesse. He's got the pace, he's got the power. So he has to be considered as well. But in terms of current form, Peter's probably right up there. But there's a log jam from where I sit in that space.
You've got to buy your time in the All Black midfield, don't you? But there's been some really good players over the years. Guys like Ryan Crotty have had to wait and wait and wait.
I actually think 13 is one of the most important roles in the team. Do you agree, Bryn? Like just defensively and attack?
100% it is. You know, they're the eyes for the outsides, and, you know, they've got to talk to obviously the inside backs as well. So the thing that I've been most impressed with Pete as well is like his ability to distribute as well. And I think, you know, there's little finesse touches that centers probably need at their next level. You know, you're starting to see that. I know that he's a great runner and, you know, strong and a great ball carrier, but, you know, those little finesse things around certain touches, little kicks in behind that takes pressure off your teams and it brings kind of different domain to your game. It's been fantastic probably the last three games that he's played. So he's a young man as well. You know, he hasn't played a lot at this level, but, you know, for a guy that's performing at this level, you know, it's got to definitely have high honours to be in that kind of conversation, that's for sure.
He's hilarious too. That little wave that he gave to you guys from the sideline when they went down there in Christchurch was amazing.
Yeah, we did see that. Yep, we did see that on the big telly.
It's amazing but dangerous. Yeah. You bring a lot of attention to yourself when you do stuff like that.
Yeah, but that's the confidence, you know. He played well and he's playing well, and, you know, that's you know, fair play to him. They got the better of us that night. And
do you want to give one back now, Bryn, or?
No, it's all good, eh? No,
let the actions do the talking. Good on you.
He's playing well. He's playing well. So I look forward to seeing him having one more game, and, you know, hopefully maybe even a North or South possible. Who knows? Who knows?
Have either of you ever done something like that and lived to regret it in the same game?
No. I don't have enough confidence to do that. No. Yeah. That's just not me. I don't know. You've done it. You haven't even done anything. I'll let you. The only ones I've been maybe your try celebration, maybe.
Celebrated try, what, the Blues won.
Yeah,
but that was more to the crowd. That wasn't to the opposition. That was just me pumped up. I was bloody 23 and scored a try against the Canes. I thought I was great.
What was the one you did? Oh, you did the flick pass to Duffman.
But again, celebrating with my teammates. I didn't do anything to Canterbury.
Oh, no, it was awesome.
We were 14 points down at that stage. I had no right to do nothing. it's just not in my nature, Ross, if I'm honest.
I'm the same.
I think you're better off. What the scoreboard's the best way of talking, but I think I like that, you know, we're all different. I think it's got a great part of the game because people love it, because it definitely spices up.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Spices things up, but I'm sure an image of that will go around for the build-up of the next Crusaders Canes game as build-up. And I think that's what I love about those things is you hold on to them as a team. And you know, like I remember before the Battle of the Bridge, a few years back when we won, I don't know, by quite a few points, Bryn, and the night before we started the week's prep and Auckland had played and Paddy said, at the end of the season, you know, we get to go across and play our little brother next week. Mm. And we just had that on repeat for the whole week. And it was just like, it just festered in us. And it was just one of the most powerful things. And even when we got ahead, like you'd get in a huddle because I was captain then and you just didn't even need to say anything. Like the boys were just on for 80 minutes. I wish you could get it every week because that's the thing with emotion. It's such a one-off thing. It's not something that creates dynasties. It gets a one-off reaction. But I remember that one was massive for getting a performance, I suppose.
Yeah, I definitely do remember that one, that's for sure.
He probably didn't even realise he'd kind of said it.
No, he didn't, because I said at the Battle Bridge breakfast, we had like a Battle Bridge breakfast, and I was like, yeah, you know, like we're obviously Paddy's little brother. So and like he like looked at me like, what? it was just part of the build-up, but it was gold.
Now, one of the other centres this week that we've seen a little bit of is Cyril Tomkinson. Obviously, it was unfortunate that he got the yellow, but man, he can tackle hard.
Oh, man, he's got iron shoulders, seriously. He just doesn't stop. He's just like a full, like, torpedo. Just comes in. He actually got a real – he absolutely smoked my ribs in preseason this year. Just a little did like off the ruck and absolutely cleaned up my ribs, man. He's made a rock. Yeah, he's
the cards are really sticking up though.
What's that?
The cards are sticking up.
And it's probably just the unfortunate thing. You know, it's just that balance. You know, there's so much. I guess having that mindset and being able to do that's great, and it's awesome when it comes off. But you know, I guess in especially these kind of derby games where you know 10 minutes off, especially in a crucial position like that. Where we're fortunate enough that, you know, ended up scoring a try because they're a one-off in the bin. Just certain things like that, just putting your team under pressure. So, like, I reckon if he can just sort that kind of stuff out and be a little bit more consistent around not hurting himself with penalties and foul play like that, he's, you know, he's definitely one to watch as well. Talk about midfielders.
I agree. When he hits, he hits. Like, I've been tackled by him and you know about it. But I just think over the, you know, there's been a few reds, there's been a few yellows now. Just something that, you know, I just, you know, if you get that name and if anything's 50-50, it might start going against you a little bit. So, yep, he certainly is probably one of the biggest hitters, but it's got to be controlled.
You don't want to rep, right?
No, you don't, because it's hard to lose.
Who's got a bigger rep as a harder tackler than him?
Sam Kane goes pretty good. And, yeah, he's pretty good.
Well, I think Offer and Paddy are going pretty good at the moment. Have a look at their tackle highlights. Offer Paddy.
I just see Offer sometimes, eh?
Oh, Dalton goes good. Dalton Papali'i can hit.
Yeah. All your boys can hit, man.
Well, there's one thing Offer and Paddy have worked on is their height. They drop their height and they just go through you. Dalton's just all energy and muscle and just Dalton. But the other two really, really are sharp.
Offer's got a good angle. Like, he always seems to hit them. They don't see him coming. You know, like, he seems to just appear in front of them and smash them out of nowhere.
Yeah, he loves popping out of nowhere on, like, high kicks. You know, like, if fullbacks are coming forward and all they're focusing on is the ball, and then they come down and it's just like, bang. It's like, oh, that's brutal. He loves those ones. You watch him. He lights up. He gets in that chase line. He gets ready. And then the other ones are when players cut back on the angle. He has an ability to adjust and drop his height and just launch so quick. For a big man, he puts a lot into his body, man. He puts a lot into his preparation and his body and getting himself right so he can play this game at a top level and he gets the rewards.
What's he carrying, like 125?
Well, probably more. He's a big boy. Yeah. Don't know. Yeah, he'd be 130, I'd say. Maybe more. I don't know. He's big. He's lean, though, but he's just... loves his strength, but also does his stretching, and you know, he's a good athlete. But that's, as I said, it's the stuff he puts in into his body, the time and effort, and the physical, but also the fuel. He's pretty disciplined.
Has it always been that way? I suppose. I mean, he's good mates with Sonny Bill, and that was something he definitely brought to the equation as well, right?
Offa's always been pretty disciplined, but I suppose his relationship with Sonny's definitely changed him a hell of a lot and made him, I suppose, more sure on what he wants to achieve and how he wants to go about his preparation has definitely had a positive influence on him.
You can see that on his social media platforms, eh, Jip?
Yeah, yeah.
You can really see it, man. Really see it. Yeah, it's great, man.
What about Aaron Smith? I mean, talking great. Jeez, how could he even get better? Like, this guy is amazing week in, week out, and you just think, that's for years he's been the best, or at least one of the best halfbacks in the world, and somehow he's better than ever.
Marshy's got a tip for him. When he chipped the fullback, he goes, oh, mate, dumb option. You know, he's playing some great footy, but dumb option. I was cracking up. Oh. You know when he broke through and he could have taken the... I had to agree with him. It wasn't the option, but I cracked up. And he knew it too. Man, he's all energy, though. Was he loud out there yesterday, Brent?
He was, man. It was actually like sometimes even like I watch, like obviously playing against him, and sometimes you just think, man, this guy's just so good. You're just sitting there, like even like yesterday I was watching it, and just certain things that he's doing. Like I've known that like he's obviously been probably the last, you know, since 2012 when he came in. Like he's been the pinnacle of especially New Zealand rugby, but for whatever reason he's just come back from I guess pre-COVID or post-COVID, sorry, and just come in unbelievable form. And it's more so just like he's playing 80 minutes as well at a high intensity, and just like it's a, you know, we all know his past, but you know he's a talisman for that team, and you know you just see everything works around him when he's playing well, and they're getting quick ball for him, and he's been able to drink around and be a competitor like he is. I've been bloody impressed with him, and sometimes it's, you know, it's just great to see a guy like that and when he's been able to play. So that was really impressive. And
do you think pre-COVID he was quite worried about everyone else around him? Do you know, like when you're watching, he's telling people where to go, and his body language showed a lot of frustration. And then it seems to be post-COVID, he has just nailed in his focus on himself and has just gone, right, I'm just going to nail me and everyone else can follow and fit in around that. And it has just worked for him.
100%. And I think even we were on the weekend as well, like the Highlanders' breakdown is unbelievable. Like we were just watching and the ability of the efficiency at their breakdown, you know, so they must have probably just had done a lot of work and getting the ball for Nagy. You know, if you can give him lightning quick ball, he's going to set up Joshuani, who I thought was outstanding.
With Jeez, his running he was game. Good.
He was good, mate. Yeah. So, you know, giving those guys the opportunity just to free up a little bit more, and, you know, Hunty in the back and, you know, their outsides and their midfielders as well, giving them the opportunities to play. And I think their breakdown has been a massive part of that. And, you know, when you give Nagy time and that amount of speed and position, they just jump on back. They jump on back of him, and you can just probably see why he's probably playing his best footy in his career. You know, where people would probably say, you know, you'd be thinking he's going a little bit down, but mate, he's going up. He's at an all time peak. So, I think maybe as well, like the competitiveness in him, and you know, there's been a lot of talk around like Faf de Klerk and that kind of stuff. You know, maybe that lit a fire under his belly, and you know, a World Cup as well, where they didn't win as well. So, he just looks motivated. And, you know, when you see him chirping and smiling, that's when you're seeing probably the best version of Aaron Smith.
If we were to start Super Rugby Aotearoa again right now, all over again, the slate is clean swept. Would the Highlanders, in the form they're in with Aaron Smith playing the way he is, suddenly be a top two option?
No, because you've seen the last two, 3 weeks, I've still haven't been able to get across the line. So, yeah, he's playing out the house down. Joshuani being there, on the other hand, I think so, from what I saw yesterday. Man, he looks like a young Richie Mo'unga. I know that Richie Mo'unga is not old, but the way he ran at the line, his ball carrying, his ability to silky through defence that I just didn't think there was space to get through, and he's passing offloads, and you know, especially that one when he stepped back inside and did the offload and then someone tried to fling it back and Nagy kicked it dead. Man, yeah, I think if he came back and they're playing like this, oh yeah, that'd be a huge threat.
And you mentioned Merchant as well, like he's suddenly on fire. Those key playmakers, 9, 10, 15, they're probably got the form three in the comp or close to it, bar Mo'unga.
Will Jordan.
Will Jordan's playing all right.
I think you think about it as well, they obviously tried 10 and 12, Hunty and Josh at 10 and 12. And they probably experimented with that and really tried to have that dual making role. But I think at 10 and 15, I think that's probably the best way to do it. And I think having, you know, Hunty at fullback as well is, you know, it's a good option. And then I think just with Josh at 10 as well, especially when you're getting lightning quick ball like they were in the weekend, and being able to have him take it to the line and use his footwork, he's strong as well. He gets through those tackles and he's got the little offloads as well. So you're very Richie Mo'unga-esque, isn't it? So
honestly,
100%. It's crazy. There were some things that I was watching yesterday, even when I think he did like a step, he went through and then stepped Jack and like at one of the T roles. And I was just like, man, I see that every day at training with Richie. Yeah. And so to see it on the other foot, yeah, it wasn't very nice. But I think for him, mate, and I guess the Highlanders moving forward, yeah, I think if he was probably playing at the start with Hunty at fullback, they'd definitely be going guns blazing.
Now, around the world, Super Rugby Aotearoa has been, you know, talked up as possibly the best comp we've ever seen. Until over the Tassie, our friends at Rugby Pass and the Aussie podcast, Stephen Hoyles, Drew Mitchell, came out with more ball in play for 2 minutes. And they've got a finals series, so obviously the Aussie comp's better.
The bit that got me out of that is when Hoyles is like, we've got heaps of time for a final, so why are we not playing a final? And I'm like, mate, you might have heaps of time, but we've got a Mitre 10 Cup with 14 teams. We've got a North-South. We've got, you know, hopefully some test matches. There's only so many weeks in the year. So it's like, if you're going to comment me, old mate, let's just do a bit of research as to why it's finishing when it's finishing. I reckon the Aussie teams took offence because all of them just scored mass amounts of points and blitzed the theory of they are closer games on the weekend.
Yeah, the Waratahs were good, man.
Waratahs
were unreal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Michael Hooper, man, I love it when he plays angry. He looks so good. he's up in everyone's faces. He's in over the ball. I'm a big fan of his.
100%. And that's the one thing, though. Like, yeah, you miss, obviously, it's great playing doobies and that kind of stuff, but, you know, you miss playing guys like that. You know, we even had the opportunity, obviously, with COVID and then not being able to play guys like Michael Hooper and good Australian players and the South Africans as well. And, yeah, it's like, yeah, you're just watching the game, you're like, oh, yeah, that's, you know, you just remember and you're hoping that, you know, we get to play them in the future, hopefully.
Yeah, him especially, because he's just all energy, eh? Like, with the ball, without the ball.
To the ref. Good to see him back as skip. He's just into the ref. I was like, oh, this is gold. In the wet.
I actually think funny enough, because Tom's just walked out, and actually it was his like first game, and Michael Hooper actually went up to Tom Christie. What did he do, Bill? He grabbed his waistline, eh? And what did he say? Yeah, he said, like, oh, those skinnies aren't good, boy. He just absolutely peppered him, and like Tom's pretty, like, you know, he's good,
shredded,
and he's just like, oh yeah, one of those jobs, is it? But yeah, pretty funny, man. Tom was absolutely in one for about 5 minutes.
It's gold.
Just grabbing it, just saying, that's no good, boy. That's not great.
Imagine if you did that to a prop. I reckon you'd cop one. I think like, going back to that post and what they're saying, the theories were pretty flawed, if you ask me. And I think it was, who's the guy?
Sean Maloney.
Yeah. He was just disgusted, wasn't he? He was like, please, just rein it in. Stop it. That was it was good.
It was a good talking point, though, man. It's like, gone all around, eh? They've done the job.
The arguments are fair. There might be more ball and play time, but I'll just take them back to go watch that golden point between the Rebels and the Reds, and you tell me that's a better spectacle. I don't think so. Then go watch Highlanders Crusaders yesterday.
Well, that and the fact that pretty much going into the last 15, 20 minutes of every Aotearoa game, it's been in the balance. There's only really been 7 or so points in it, and it could have gone either way in almost every game I've watched.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And I think it just comes back to, you know, I know there's been a lot of talk around sustainability and, you know, there's probably competition that's not sustainable. But as a viewer, man, if you think about it, every single game on a Saturday and a Sunday, and you just, you know, you're enthralled every single game. You're just like, man, it's going down to the wire every time. And what I've really liked around this competition as well, having 3:30 games and being able to play in the afternoon, it's just been a massive game changer, man. It's great. It's, you know, it's a great way to play rugby. It's free flowing. You'll be able to run. And you're just not worried about, you know, for us, we think about this time of year for us when we play at night, it's always wet. We obviously have a different, we play a little bit different. So for us as players, you know, if we can move forward having a 3:30 game on a Sunday, yeah, I definitely reckon that's the way moving forward. I don't know what you reckon about that, Jip. You must, you know.
No, I love it, mate. And it just shows, like, just the style of play you can have a crack at. I think that's what everyone loves heaps about Mitre 10 Cup as well, because it's free-flowing and teams will throw the ball around. It was just great to have Super Rugby at the time. Even before Super Rugby Aotearoa, when we had a game at 4:30 or 5, even players, we get excited. We're like, oh, that's good conditions. It's going to be before the dew, especially if it's early on the season, it's still daylight saving. You know, you'll be done by 7 and there's no dew, so you know you're going to get a really good crack at you know, throwing the ball around. So yeah, no, I think it's been awesome.
It's been epic as a person at home. Like, I'll be at home, I'll call up Domino's, something will arrive, you know, crack open a beer and the rugby's on at 3:30 in the arvo.
Mate, Michael Hooper might be around to check your skiddies in a minute.
I'm glad it's a short season.
Have you got a third party deal with Domino's or something?
I should now. They're at the end of the street, so they're literally a 2-minute drive, but I still get them delivered.
It's going to be hard work for you, Ross, seriously. Just on a Sunday as well. It'd be hard to turn down as well.
It's right there. Do you guys reckon that Mauro Itoje and Owen Farrell would be a pretty handy wee addition to that Chiefs lineup?
I'd love to see it.
Oh, I'd love to see. Imagine this. Brody Retallick and Itoje, locking partners.
Oof.
Oh, man, that'd be unbelievable.
Weber to Farrell.
Oh, I love Farrell as well, man. I really rate him, eh? So I'd love to see him down here.
They play a different style. But, man, you use Joe March as an example. He's a great player. He was exceptional for us when he played. He fully adjusted his game to our style and you know, looked right at home towards the end there. And he's just finding himself at international level. Bring guys like that over. Man, that would be great for our comp. Be great for players as well to test themselves against guys like that. Chiefs would be really wrapped.
Yeah, I just think it'd be just great at, like, you know, you just having those kind of caliber guys coming down. You know, if they do play, well, obviously Joe came down with the Blues and that, but you know, getting those guys to come over here and then, you know, having an opportunity that they might be like, oh, you know what, we actually might want to end up playing here. Being able to, you know, take a little sabbatical of 6 months, you know, out of their contracts and being able to play down here. So I'd love to see it, mate. I'd love to see Itoje. I love watching him play, and even the likes of Owen Farrell and the caliber of those guys coming into our competition, especially moving forward. With, you know, the possibility of us not playing South African teams or anything like that, having caliber of those kind of players coming and playing with us, it's only going to add to our competition.
How do you set up the rules? Like, how many of those foreign stars is enough per team if you were to do it? You don't want them, I suppose, and maybe even every team, because that kind of needs to be a special thing, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough one because it's probably going to be a one-off for the current situation. So maybe each needs to be looked at on its own accord. Don't really have an answer for you on that, which is rare for me.
I think like we have to be a little bit careful as well with young guys coming through the system as well. And, you know, their opportunity.
Would they not be great for young guys coming through? Imagine seeing Farrell and Itoje at training. Like, I'm an old bull and I'd be up for seeing them at training.
Yeah, you know what it's like when you're younger, Jip. You know, you want to be playing, and you see that kind of stuff, and you're like, oh man, you know, you can take it one or two.
Have we not just discussed that the Chiefs youth is maybe probably held them back? Yeah. Even Warren Gatland's been saying that the age of their team, and yeah, I agree. The only way you can learn is by getting out there, but you can certainly learn off guys like that. Wow, yeah. It'd be massive, yeah. And they're young men as well. You know, they're not old. I don't know. It would be great for the game. It'd be awesome for the spectator.
100%.
And I'd love to see how Itoje would go, like week to week.
You know, he'd go in real, I reckon.
I know. I'd just love to see it, just to get it. It'd just be a good test study. You know, because both hemispheres are like, oh, we're the best and toughest, and you know, it'd just be great to mix and mingle and see how well they go. You know, it'd be great.
Yeah.
Unleash his skill set, hey? Like, you feel like there's something to be maximized there. We've seen incredible play from him, but maybe not everything.
But it might even grow his game, like you say. You know, like coming down here and playing a different style. You know, you talk to Joe, it's totally different the way we see the game of rugby. It's like yin and yang.
What did he say around that? Just around that? Obviously, we're talking
about Toby. He just said it's Joe. Just totally, totally different the way they... I can't go into specifics because I'll give away certain things that we do, but but it's definitely yin and yang.
The crusaders like your secrets, mate.
Yeah. Oh, mate, I've just almost got him, man.
We're playing him Sunday. Chat next week and I can talk
about it. Yeah, nice. Damn. Yeah. Well, I thought I had you there, Jip. Damn.
Mate, you've already got the trophy. You don't need to do any more investigating.
No, I'd love to see him there. I'd love to see Itoje here. I think it'd be great.
Is there a player you'd love to play with from overseas who you'd love to bring in more than anybody else?
I'd love to play with Owen Farrell, man. Yeah, I'd love to play with Owen Farrell. Yeah, we've had opportunity to play him when he was down here with the Lions. And yeah, I just love his demeanor, and actually watched the British and Irish Lions like documentary as well. And yeah, there's just a real aura and demeanor around him. And I actually remember I used to watch his dad as well when he used to play league and that. So was originally a fan of his dad, and then obviously seen Owen play. He's world class, and you know, brings a different different perspective. He plays a different way to what probably traditional New Zealand tens do. So I think to get his kind of his tactical ideas around games and his kicking and how he sees the game, especially with the Northern Hemisphere style, and being able just to grow and get information and be a sponge.
Mine would probably be, it's in my position, that's the problem, is I'd probably have to go to the bench because I'd want to play with probably Skulk Brits, because I just heard like whenever I've caught up with him after the game, like he's just an absolute gentleman, top bloke for one, and I just like the way he plays the game. I know he's retired, but I just always admired the way he went about his business and just his style, and I suppose his personality would bring plenty as well. So I would have loved to have, I suppose, been in the closer sanctum of someone like him. Guys like Victor Matfield, Bucky's both, you know, maybe I'm, you know, I know they're all retired, but guys like that is, so when I was young, I'm looking at them going, oh man, that'd be awesome to play with, you know. David Pocock, another one. Those sorts of players would be great.
Yeah, having Victor Matfield walk into your lineout and calling it on the spot and just going up would be amazing for you, wouldn't it?
Just be a dream. You wouldn't have to stress about lineouts for the week, would you?
I used to love about Victor Matfield, man, which is just like his look as well. He just had like a 5 o'clock whisper. Like very similar to you, Ross, actually, that beard you've got going on there, mate.
And you.
Very similar. Yeah.
He was just a little bit more wispy, though.
Oh, mate, he was just had a great beard. Just had these locks as well. He was about 2 meters tall and tan.
Mate, do you want him on the South African Bachelor this week?
Oh, mate. I just, you know, just you got to appreciate what you see in front of you, eh?
You do, mate.
Yeah.
You do. Good on you,
Matfield, Brenner. Mate. Yeah, not bad.
Well, I loved his aerial game. Brenner loves his looks.
Yeah.
Well, what about Julian Saar there? Would you love him playing at North Harbour?
Come on.
Absolutely.
Come on. Come on, please, Jules. Come on.
Oh, you know, we've lost to Vita Lee over the last few years, who pretty much was 3 tries a game for us at Mitre 10 Cup level. So, and then we put all our effort and our resources in Mark Talaia, and he leaves to Tasman. So, yeah, Julian would be great. I'd love to see him, you know, on a flat ball from Bryn, hitting that transition channel between, you know, a hooker and a seven and just busting throughout the other side. And then playing on quick ball, you know, balls up, Bryn Gatlin finds out wide to Sean Stevenson, try in the corner. What a way to start the
comp. Sounds good, man. It sounds good. Savia, that sounds good. I love that. He's, I saw some articles. He wants to play in the midfield. Is that right? Is he going to play one that wants to be in the midfield?
He can play centre and 12 if he wants.
Imagine that, boy.
Make it happen.
Yeah.
Because his partner lives up here, or his partner's family lives on the shore.
So oh, yeah.
It'd be a good fit. It'd be a good fit for him.
Oh, we'd love to have him. We'd love to have you, Jules. Awesome coffee, mate. Takapuna as well.
Yeah, great bunch of lads.
Yeah.
Not so good at the TikTok thing, but he can help us out there.
We need to grow that. We can grow that. Just get us. Okay. Come on,
oh,
mate.
Mind you, Gats. Remember Gats was doing a few in lockdown with his family.
Oh, Bryn yeah. Gats. He's got no rhythm, he's though. Doing... Gatlin's got no rhythm.
Bryn can't escape from this. Bryn was doing some TikToks too. They had some ones going on in the flat.
Nah, you're kidding. Nah, it wasn't me, mate, was it?
What are you talking about?
Yeah. Gatlin's got no rhythm, so Jules can probably help him out with that, actually.
You'd be up for the Nathan Cleary one, wouldn't you?
That's actually, yeah, nice. I think we actually did that one. Yeah, no good, though. No good.
I always find a way to bring league into this podcast. Yeah. I don't know why. Such a tragic.
How good the Warriors, though? Come on.
Oh,
man.
How good.
Man.
Yeah. See, would have liked to see Blake Green stay, but yeah, he did look good for the...
Nice. It was funny, old Gus Gould around today. He just said, like, you know, Warriors going to do win two games this year. And now he's, yeah, yeah. What does he do? What does he has? Consultant?
Nah, he said two more. He said two more, and now they've won 5.
Yeah. And now he's a consultant for the Warriors. Sorry. This is
anyway,
show.
Come on.
Sorry.
Well, I'm interested in Phil Gould. Let's carry on there. Because, I mean, he's got an interesting relationship with Penrith, obviously. With Ivan Cleary and how things have gone. He's obviously got a major background in winning a long time ago. When does a coach become kind of past it, like lose connection with what's happening right now and no longer be a useful consultant? Because when you're like him and he hasn't actually been a head coach for 20-odd years, I wonder, like, is he a useful guy and would that kind of thing work?
Well, he's in and around the game, though, isn't he? He commentates it. He helps out with agencies. He does all the shows. He's in boards. He's on. He's always a rugby director. So I think he's in touch with the current way of style. And by all accounts, he's great for young blokes and bringing them through. Certainly a red dot by all accounts. He knows what he wants and he knows where he wants to go. So I don't think it can hurt. I look at league from a fan perspective, so it's hard to comment on him. I think you've got to be in the current system somehow to understand how the game's going, and also have an ear to the ground of how it's being coached, because the game changes so quick. And yes, you can comment what's in front of you as a commentator, but I still think you need that insight into the team environment. Would you agree, Brad?
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think it's more so like having an understanding as well. And so like we're talking about coaches and if they've had long careers and that kind of stuff, it's more so around the people around them as well, their support systems, the assistant coaches, and having been able to see, this is what it actually looks like. And then you're always going to have the experience and I guess the understanding of like of rugby or league or whatever sport it is. But I think if you just have the people that support you as well and you're open, I think as well when you do get older, if you have older coaches and that kind of stuff, they might be a little bit more fixed mindset around their ways and understanding around that. So I think if you still have that ability to be open and open to ideas and still growing and have a growth mindset, then I think you always be in touch with rugby. So I think if you don't have that and you kind of have a little fixed mindset, then you might struggle a little bit to stay in touch with the game. I don't know how you fit around that, Jip.
Yeah, I think it's key. Like we're talking about great coaches before, and sorry to keep bringing it back to Tom, but he always lets you know when he's learned something off you, or you know, he's just always willing to grow his understanding and how to see it from a different perspective. And it's like I think that's massive. If you're pretty rigid and you've only got one way, like how is that fun? How's that? I don't know, like everyone wants to learn, everyone, that collaboration makes you come to work because you know that you're going to be able to contribute. I don't know, that's how I see it anyway. It's more of a new age way of seeing it, I think.
The thing I've noticed about meeting Tom and also Razor is that there's a warmth about them. There's kind of, you feel very at ease when you meet them, even in a media point of view. They look you in the eye, they shake your hand, they ask you how you are, and they immediately make you feel at ease. And that must go a long way as a coach.
Yeah, I think it does. And like, if you want the best out of your players and you want to feel confident and at ease, like you said, Ross, so I think a coach, if they have that kind of leadership style and it's their style where they can, we talk about care, and if you can really sense that and just get that, you can feel that, excuse me, then you're going to get that and you're going to have success around that. So I know you obviously had it with Tom when he was at North Harbour, and I think coming back when he was a teacher and that kind of stuff, he's got a real good understanding with young men and even men in general. So I think having that balance is crucial, especially for the great ones. And you probably see that they've all got similar traits when they're good coaches.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.